At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, guiding you through the maze of your money. Let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and today we're talking with my wife, Rebecca, about saving for Hawaii, how we've done it, how excited we are to go to Hawaii. And if you're listening to this episode, you're listening to it while we're in Hawaii. So the past couple of years have been a lot of working and saving and trying to spend wisely on credit cards in order to build up rewards so that we could go to Hawaii as cheap as possible. Then the last couple months have been a lot of research, planning, and also realizing we can spend more than maybe we initially thought because we've been working so hard to save. The money talking points for today's episode are: what's a goal a few years down the road that you can start saving for now? And two, what is a way that you can use credit cards, or how can you use credit cards to make your spending a whole lot easier by using credit card rewards? And join me as we welcome Rebecca on screen here. I'm excited to have her on. She's been on a few episodes before. Welcome, Rebecca. Would you maybe give everyone a brief life update of what you've done over the last couple of weeks? Since, I mean, it's been about a year since you've been on the podcast. So what's changed?
Has it really been that long?
Over a year.
Well, hello, everyone. Within the last year, I mean, I know Skylar's talked a lot about PA school and our savings for that. And I officially graduated PA school wearing a shirt since physician assistant. And it's from it's like my favorite TV show, Friends. But anyways, successfully graduated PA school last week. And now I'm just studying away and preparing for the board certification exam. So that's, I guess, my big life update. Our life update. We're in it together.
Yes. Are you excited to keep studying?
No, I'm so excited to be done studying.
Well, why not to sugarcoat it? But yeah, you're excited to be done. I know that firsthand. So great update for everyone. I think it's been about 14 months since you were last on. Our last episode we did was Christmas is Coming, where we talked all about sinking funds. And sinking funds apply a lot to how we saved for Hawaii, don't they?
That's true.
How excited are you to go to Hawaii?
So excited. Like I just said, I'm ready to be done studying, and not only will Hawaii be super fun, but it's like the first time in 27 months that I can go on a trip guilt-free without having to do any studying, because we're leaving the day after I take my big exam. So I'm pumped.
How does saving make that excitement so much higher? Like, how much more stressful would this trip be if we didn't have any money saved for it?
Oh, it'd be super stressful. And the nice thing is because we have been saving for probably, I bet we started before PA school or right when it started, because I remember being like, we should go to Hawaii. When can we go? When can we go? And you were finally like, what if we go after PA school? And then we shook on it and made it official. But being able to save for the past couple of years for this trip has made it so nice, because not only do we have the money and we can go, but I feel like we can basically do whatever we want. Like, we don't have to, I mean, obviously we're within reason and we're watching our finances, but because we've been saving for so long, it feels like we can do whatever activity we want. We could stay wherever we want. We can, like, we just have a lot of freedom and flexibility in planning this trip because we've been able to save the money and we have the money to do so.
Yeah, freedom and flexibility, I think, is the biggest thing for me too. Like, honestly, we've gone on a lot of trips since then, which is kind of awesome that we've been able to save for both at the same time. But those trips were kind of watching what we spend, we're being more careful. This one, we're like, here's an activity we want to do, let's do it. Like, we're just jumping.
Well,
on
and board. We were camping because it was cheap and it was like a few days and it had to be within driving distance. And I mean, we love going to the national parks, but I'd say that's been majority of our trips over the last couple of years. And basically all you have to pay for is your park pass, and then the rest is free, which is great. And it was a fun time, but Hawaii is definitely going to be expensive, and we're doing tons of fun, different excursions and activities, which we wouldn't normally do. And so it's exciting to have that option and freedom to do those things.
Yeah, and I guess this next question would maybe be a little bit better post Hawaii, but there's been things that we've saved for over the years. Do you think the hard work that it takes to save money pays off? Is it worth it?
Oh yeah, definitely worth it. I know there are many people who are a little envious that they're not going to Hawaii with us. And it's just like we've said, like you said, and I've kind of mentioned, it's just reduced the stress to be able to plan in advance and save in advance for these trips and for this trip to Hawaii. And because we've also been planning in advance, we've been able to keep in mind like how we can best utilize our money and like kind of find discounts or deals and watch prices a little bit more because we've been planning in advance.
Yeah, there was a recent episode that I had where someone said, just when you get that little bit of wealth or buffer, that you unlock so much flexibility because you can buy in bulk. You can, like you said, wait for the savings to come up on a deal because you know you'll have the money. You're not going paycheck to paycheck, buying the smallest quantity because it's cheapest. You're buying what is most affordable when you have that little bit of buffer. Do you think, I keep going back to, what do you think this trip would be like if we just barely started saving 6 months ago?
Well, we wouldn't be doing as much or going as long. That's for sure. We're doing 10 days. Yeah. I bet if we hadn't started saving, we'd be looking at more like 5 days, but we get to go longer and do more. And I think it's definitely because we've been preparing and saving for so long.
Yeah. I think that looking at trips like this, when you start telling people about them, they think, oh, like it's almost like overnight success type syndrome where you're like, wow, they just suddenly get to do all these fun things, but it's taken years of saving and being intentional with our money to make sure we were putting money away from this. So I think the one thing you have to recognize is that those great big fun trips are built on having discipline over a long period of time. And everyone's going to look at them and be jealous in that moment, but they're not looking back at the things that, like, we went camping a bunch instead of maybe going to an Airbnb and staying longer at a national park or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, we're also going to plan and save ahead for, we want to go to New York next fall. Mm-hmm. And that's only about a year from now, which is less than saving for a Hawaii trip. But because already we're starting to look ahead at that, we've been able to discuss how much we think we'll need and start looking at even just some vague general prices, which will make that trip when it comes up a lot more relaxing and less stressful because we'll be able to save for that as well. So I think it really comes down to planning ahead and being prepared, because then it's easier and you don't have the guilt of spending the money, and you also have more freedom in getting and doing what you'd like to do.
Yeah, you're getting right into my next question. So you're fantastic at transitions. How do you recommend people save for these big fun expenses that are upcoming in their life?
Well, I know we've talked before, sinking funds have been our key thing. I also think it's helpful to kind of like you save, or you have your necessary bills, right? Of like your rent or your mortgage or your utilities or your car. And so setting aside a certain amount that you are going to save every month towards your trip, and almost making it like a necessity or necessary bill. And that's how the sinking funds really kind of come into play, but also just making it a priority and being willing to sacrifice maybe in some other immediate gratification expenses so that you can make sure you're setting aside the designated amount that you want to every month so that you're able to build that sinking fund up and have it ready to go for your big trip.
Yeah. You're answering all the questions right out the gate, but maybe how do people stay consistent? So they're 4 months into savings. They've done what you've done or done what you've said and made it so that it seems like it's a necessary bill in their budget. They add it in every month and they're 4 or 5 months in and they're like, wow, I wish I could have some more fun now. How do you stay consistent while saving for things so far down the road?
I don't know. I'm a goal-oriented person, so I want to go to Hawaii and I'll save for it. And I know you and I like to plan. It can be hard though, because things do come up and you want to spend money here or there. And I wouldn't say that we've been perfect in it. Some months I'm sure we've saved more or less depending on things that have come up. But that's also nice where the sinking fund has kind of come into play, because we've been able to build it over time while also still saving money for other things or other trips in the meantime. I think also you and I took some opportunities when we had months with maybe extra income or let's say a tax return or some money that's come in that's maybe atypical for your monthly income, to be able to put more towards it so that we could reach that goal sooner. So we had the flexibility to spend money in other areas while still achieving that goal.
There you go. You hit it right on the head. You find that extra money, like you set your target, you find that extra money. And then when you can funnel money towards that, it decreases that monthly requirement that you're setting as your necessary bill, so to speak. So I think that definitely helped us stay consistent, is because we were, one, still having fun on vacations, doing smaller little things. That was probably where our sacrifice was going on shorter trips, spending a little less on them, things like that. So some great tips there from Rebecca to help you stay consistent.
Well, and I'm sure it's easier to stay consistent when it's something you really want. Nobody wants to have to pay their electricity bill, yeah. But you want to go to Hawaii. So
that's true. When you set a really, truly like relevant and a goal that you really want, that's going to make it a whole lot easier to stay consistent for it. But how do you balance that fun in life now versus saving for the future?
I mean, it's important just to readdress your goals regularly. I mean, I know you encourage people to have money talks often. And I think that is important, because if you get distracted by the now or only focus on the future, then you're going to miss something on either end, whether it's the now fun stuff or whether it's the future fun stuff as well. And so making sure that you're reassessing and readdressing your goals regularly is probably very important, and doing things within reason. I think we can get distracted by what people around us are doing, and we can get distracted by just like what we think we should be doing to be having fun, I guess. But kind of having a reality check, and also just realizing there might be other things that you can do for fun that still save you money and allow you to work towards your bigger goals. It's just really all about perspective, probably.
Yeah. And things like you said, find the things that are cheaper, maybe free. Like, what's one thing we love to do each summer is find the free activities near us, city days, whether it's like a discount day at an aquatic center, things like that. You love going to rodeos. Those are cheaper than big trips. Like, you just find the little things around you that you can just simply drive to.
And those go to concerts in the park or at the library.
If you just try, there's a lot of things out there.
Yeah. And that allows us to save some money while still working towards those big goals. But I think you've even had a realization recently that it's also important to have fun now while we're young and capable and able to do things that we want to do, because there's so many instances where people will be worried too much about work or about saving for this, that, or the other, that time passes them by and then they have regrets that they never were able to go on that trip they wanted to, or skydive, or do that big hike they wanted. And so realizing also that we're limited by our abilities. And so while you're younger, I say younger because who's going to define young, but while you're younger, deciding what you are capable of and what you should do now, because you might not be able to do it in the future. So having that perspective as well is important.
Like, you might not physically be able to do it. Like, if you have a bunch of great hikes or a hiking trip you want to go on, save some money for it now instead of trying to push everything back. Yeah, that's a realization I've had, because you can attest to this. At the beginning of right before you started PA school, you just graduated, I was like, let's max out our Roth IRA. Do you remember this conversation? What did it feel like for you?
Oh my gosh. I remember we were driving home from my parents' house and we were discussing maxing out, Skylar's like, I want us to max out our Roth IRA, but also save all the money that we can so we have as little loans as possible. And I was like, we
because
can't
I was thinking
do
it was gonna be
both
possible.
Of those things.
I wanted to avoid loans at all costs.
And I was like, it is not possible. Those are two different goals. PA school and having no loans is a now, while maxing out the Roth IRA for our retirement is a future. And I know, obviously, we've talked a lot about how you have to, if you invest in your retirement younger, it builds and grows faster. So you do want to start younger. But I was like, within 2 years, if we have to make that little bit of a sacrifice to decrease our student loans, that's what we're going to have to do. And so that's a great example of the balance between the nows and the future and having to make some compromises, but still being able to accomplish those goals. And now we're going to make more money and max out all our Roth IRAs.
Roth IRAs, it's
and
coming.
You'll be happy about that. It's coming.
I mentioned it, Rebecca. I mentioned it to you the other day for everyone listening. I mentioned it and Rebecca's face was like, oh no, that's coming now.
Oh no, it's time.
I've made him wait. So she knows it's coming. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things we've done to save for this trip. Like, credit card rewards are a big one. How do you feel about them now? Because I know when we first got married, I was big on the Dave Ramsey kick and made us use a debit card and things like that. But we've since shifted to using credit card rewards. How does the listener balance spending on a credit card responsibly, and how does that help them?
I will admit you manage most of the credit card stuff, which I'm grateful for. There are a lot of credit cards out there that have different cash backs and rewards and points and whatnot, and it can be very overwhelming to keep track of it all. But
which we've experienced firsthand.
Which we've experienced. I think we've been on both ends. Mm-hmm. We've been on the end where we've had no credit cards, debit card only. We've been on the end where we opened like so many credit cards
in
such a short amount of time. It was wild. So we're also learning that balance, but it's been awesome because we've been able to find some of those really key credit cards, ones that give us cash back on things that we make, or cash back or points on things that we make regular purchases on. So like Smith's has been really good for us, because we like to grocery shop over there. Our Walmart card gets us points. Think cards that get you points on like Amazon purchases, gas, like things that we spend money on regularly. And we've been able to find those cards that get us the most rewards back on those regular purchases we make. And then without even knowing it, over the past 2 years, those points have accumulated and grown to the point that when we booked our flights to Hawaii and between the islands, I think it should have cost us $1,000-$2,000, and we paid like $150 because we were able to use our points. And that was really nice because and the thing too was we were still saving the money as though we were going to make the flight purchases. Like, we were forgetting the points were even part of our saving, but we knew that's what they were for, but didn't count them towards the total amount. So then when we saw our total Hawaii amount, but then we threw in the points, suddenly we saved ourselves a few thousand dollars that now we have to spend on other things. Like I said, the freedom of choosing what activities we do and food and sleeping accommodations, those things we have more freedom because we saved as though we didn't have the points, but for the past 2 years, we've saved the points and it's been really nice.
I have an episode that keeps coming to my mind about what if I don't want a credit card hack. You spoke to right at the beginning, we were opening so many cards. And it gets very confusing. You get lost a little bit in it. But I think one of the things that I've learned and that we've learned over the past several years is just keep it simple. The easiest form of credit card rewards is just cash back. And that's gonna help a lot. Sure, there's ways you can get more point conversions by booking a certain way and all this, that, and the other. And if you want to get into that, there's value there. But we did that a tiny little bit with our points. We used some of them on their booking page to get extra percentage, whatnot. Like, but it gets very confusing very quickly. If we tried to optimize it that far, I think it'd be overwhelming. We just instead identified some key places where we like to spend money and found cards that work well in those places. So it's really as simple as that. Cause I think often people hear credit cards and they think credit card debt, which is something you have to stay away from. But they also hear credit card rewards and they think, oh, I need to be spending this much on this card, this much on this card. And you got like the stack of credit cards like we have in our closet. And it's stressful.
Yes. But then in the end, we only use, I'd say we use about two of them regularly. And then
We use like four or five of them regularly, but they're just so in the like background
Amazon
cash.
Has that card and Walmart has that card because those are where the cashback or the rewards are the best. And then we've got like the one or two that we use for everyday purchases. So if you can like automate it, I know you love to automate, but automate what cards will get you the best rewards for certain websites or purchases and just like keep it simple. It can work out for you great.
Yeah, keep it simple. And I quickly want to mention a couple other tools here that you can use to save for the future. Certificates are something we used. We put our sinking fund that we had just in a certificate and it's earned us several hundreds of dollars. So there's a little bit of ways you can work some of the financial products. My ultimate advice is to just keep it simple, because when you try to start doing too much, maybe let's talk for a second about the potential pitfalls of complexity. Rebecca, can you tell me what you were thinking when I was going through my crypto phase with Yada and trying to make things complex? What was that like? What's complexity like?
I don't know. I just didn't know what was going on. And then money was getting locked up. And then, I don't know. It was a mess.
I've gone through my complex phase. It's over now. I love to say keep it simple unless you really know what you're doing and you're in for the stress that it can cause. And this will rest your mind a little bit, Rebecca, but we're glad we're out of Yada because Evolve Bank and Trust, I'm pretty sure, has gone under and Yada is like completely locked up. People can't get any of their money out of it, which would suck if that was your primary account. So that's why you keep it simple with the high yield online banks, with your local credit unions, things like that, because then it's so much easier. Let's wrap it up here talking a little bit about marriage, fun trips, things like that. What if someone is married? So let's go to us several years ago. What if someone's married, they're having a hard time having money talks with their spouse, and it's leading them to not be able to do fun trips? Like they don't ever have money for that. How do you kind of break through that money talk hurdle?
I would say, kind of like I mentioned earlier, making it just a regular habit of talking about money. Because as you talk about it regularly, it will become easier. Mm-hmm. I will say that in the beginning of our marriage, and occasionally still, but less frequently, there are tears as we have to navigate some difficult conversations and differing opinions and differing goals. But being able to talk regularly so you can understand where the other person's coming from and be able to work through those things is important. Because if you don't talk about it regularly, then those conversations, when they do come up, are a lot more stressful because you don't understand the other person. And then people shut down and it just becomes a fight or an argument. And then you only have negative associations with those conversations. And then you try to avoid them. And then you can't reach your goals because you're not talking about it. So I think just trying to make sure that you're talking regularly about money with your partner or your spouse or your significant other can be extremely important so that you can work through and come to an understanding of where each other are at and where each other are coming from. Otherwise, you'll never be able to tackle those bigger and more difficult conversations. And then you will miss out on saving for trips and doing fun things because you're not able to work on those goals together.
Well, even if you're not talking about money, you're going to miss out on those little trips like we've done over the past 4 years. You'll miss out on those little trips because those can still be somewhat expensive. They're several hundreds of dollars in total cost. So having regular money talks, I love it. That's a great place to leave this on. Did you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share that maybe note you had down to tell people about saving for big trips?
I think we've mostly talked about it. Just don't be afraid to
set goals.
Yes. Plan ahead, talk about money. And I mean, those other big goals are still important, like retirements and houses and whatnot. But you can also find the balance in having fun, going on trips, while also still reaching your other financial independence goals and other big financial goals down the road. It just takes regular conversation and always reflecting back and reevaluating your goals and where you're at and continuing to learn and educate yourself, because there's always new things and other ways you can consider, but keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it, but continue to learn, because I know that in our couple of years, I guess it's been, okay, I don't know why I think we've only been married 2 years. In our 4 years of marriage.
You've been in PA school for 2 years.
Yeah, that's it. I have learned a lot about money. I know you've learned a lot about money. Our money conversations and money strategies have definitely changed entirely, and will continue to change as different things come up. But that's what's so great about it. You can continue to learn and grow and reach the goals you want to and go on fun trips like Hawaii.
Yes. And other ones future down the road. So I'm sure we'll have you back on, Rebecca.
Switzerland.
Yeah. You're excited. I'm excited too.
I know.
I got one final question for you here. What is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Probably how to make my money work for me a little bit more. I know when we got married, all my money was sitting in a checking account, and I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, no, but, it's not.
I have learned a lot. And I mean, we started pretty young, and so I'm grateful for that. But knowing how to make your money work for you, and even just like simply a high yield savings account, credit card rewards. I had like a simple credit card from my bank, could have had one that was maybe earning me some more money. So just like simple ways that your money can work for you and benefit you. So it's not just sitting there doing nothing. And I've learned a lot about that, and luckily got started pretty fairly soon, fairly young, but I think it's something that intimidates a lot of people and really could benefit a lot of people if they were willing to just understand a few simple things they could do to make their money work for them.
Love it. Learn how to understand how to make your money do what you want it to do sooner. That's a fantastic note to leave it on. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining for another episode. I think this is your third time on or something like that. So hopefully we'll have you on again. Yes, you're the most frequent guest. So I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future, but thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Rebecca for coming on today's episode. I know that was a fantastic interview, and I'm sure you learned a lot, because I know I did. I love hearing the conversations and thoughts that my wife and I have had through her lens. So it's really a great testament for going out and having a money talk. Make sure you're talking regularly with a spouse, and if you're not married, find a friend, find a money buddy who you can have a regular money talk with. But today I wanted to kind of come to you live right after the interview and wrap up my thoughts and share a little bit more about how we saved for Hawaii, how this episode can impact you. And I'm sure in future episodes, I'm going to share some tips and tricks about spending in Hawaii and what we learned from our trip there. So again, thank you to Rebecca for coming on this interview. How could this one impact you? Well, credit cards are one way that you can start by spending responsibly, spend intentionally. Where you know you like to spend money, get a credit card that can give you some good points at that location. Like I said on the interview, we have maybe 4 or 5 cards that we mainly use, but really Rebecca only sees one of them, because we have a Walmart card that's hooked to our Walmart Pay and our account there. We have a card that's hooked to our Smith's account that gets rewards there. We have a card hooked to the Sam's Club app that we use that gets better points there. Really, we're trying to get about 5% everywhere, because there's specialty cards that you can use at certain places that'll get you 5%. And then the key card to fall back on is one that makes 2%. So that's why we use that one everywhere else. But we're very intentional about our spending to get the most points back. And we honestly have thousands of dollars in credit card rewards that we're using towards this trip. That's a huge discount that we're able to get just by some intentional spending and being strategic with our credit cards. Another great place that you'll find some impact is talking with spouses, talking with friends. When you have money talks, you're able to flush out ideas, able to align those goals. And like we said in the interview, make sure you're being honest and serious with yourself about the goals that you're actually setting. That way you're being honest, you're setting the right goals, ones that are actually attainable and not unrealistic. Make sure you're not trying to save $7,000, $8,000 for a trip to Hawaii in 3 months, because that's going to put a lot of stress. You're going to feel bad when you really shouldn't. You should just give yourself more time. But ultimately, the biggest impact is to make sure you're talking about money. And in terms of the money talking points, those are going to be some great talking points to go out and share with your friends. Go out and share with your friends, share with your spouse, identify a key thing that you want to save for in the future, and talk about it with someone else. What can you do now to begin to save for those things in the future? But that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you so much to Rebecca for coming on this interview and talking to me about saving for Hawaii, our credit card rewards, and some of the tips that she's noticed from her perspective in our marriage as we've saved for this big trip. We're having a great time, I'm sure, in Hawaii. I'll tell you more about it later and some tips and tricks that I've learned from our trip in Hawaii, but consider sharing this episode with a friend. I'm looking to continue growing the podcast, and the best way to do that is by sharing and leaving a 5-star review. So whatever you're listening on, navigate to the app, click 5 stars, and I would greatly appreciate it. If you have any questions, of course, my email is in the show notes. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. And who knows, I think it might be a great idea after talking with Rebecca. Maybe if you and your spouse want to come on the podcast together, we could talk through a financial situation that maybe you're trying to talk through together, and I could help coach you along the way, maybe help you see both sides of the perspective and help you out a little bit if there's something you're a little bit stuck on. I'm always happy to have anyone on the podcast. So if you or someone you know would like to come on and would be a good guest, shoot me an email and let me know. But thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.